Woo-wee! Yes, yes, yes. It is that time. Nate and TD, you hear the music. Wow. Coming off a tough loss for the Titans. We're going to get into that. We got special guest Harry Douglas coming on to talk some shop. Wide receiver talk, of course. We're going to get into a little Khalif Raymond, Adam Humphries, A.J. Brown, Corey Davis. Looking forward to that. But first things first, looking at this Bengals game, we have to reflect upon that because, man, I tell you, it was a tough loss. There are multiple things that we could have at fault here. I mean, I think we might as well start with the red zone defense and just how that was. The Titans are in the bottom three, and they're not third and second in red zone scoring percentage. So that has been an issue, and it surfaced against the Bengals. Cincinnati scored on 4 out of 5 of their trips into the red zone. They scored touchdowns, that is, and that's just simply unacceptable. So what has to happen? How can they fix that? I think it starts with just a mixture of the guys up front getting home as well as the guys in the secondary helping out as well. They really need to do that because if the receivers are able to, you know, run those quicker routes, that's going to negate the pass rush. But then at the same time, if the guys aren't getting home up front or impacting the quarterback, that's going to impact coverage. It's a marriage, and that's something that has to be fixed. It's tough because you have a team that invested a lot of money into pass rushers, right? Vic Beasley, we know what happened there, and he's gone. Jadeveon Clowney, that's something that they're still trying to work through. He hasn't practiced all week, you know, and he's listed as questionable for Sunday's game, so that's something to monitor. I think Derek Roberson will come in and give some help, but you have to remember he hasn't played a snap yet this year. And even entering this season, he was a guy that they felt needed to get better, a more efficient, effective on first and second down. In other words, earning the right to rush the passer on third. So they have to get that situation squared away as well. It's a tough situation. It is. It's really tough. So when you look at some of the ways that this team has reacted to it, first things first, you have the release, and Vic Beasley's gone. Jonathan Joseph is gone. They traded for Desmond King, so there's a little bit of turnover there, but you still have Adoree, and that's the situation also where, okay, is he going to come back? So there's a lot going on, and, man, it's tough. It's really a difficult situation. I'm just curious how the locker room is going to respond to it. But one of the good things is Desmond King is a guy that could help out. And he is someone that, especially in out of the nickel, you know, blitzing, that's something that's going to be major. They really need him to help out in that way. And that's something, if you look at it, there have been comparisons to Logan Ryan. And I could see those just as far as the toughness against the run out of that nickel position and also being able to time those blitz. That's something that Shane Bowen spoke about. He said that, you know, instinctiveness is something that really comes into blitzing out of that nickel position. So they have to get that together. He could help them that way. I just want to see just what's going to happen, how they're going to just bring him into the scheme because he's been in meetings all week. But he didn't practice with the team. And Mike Vrabel was asked about that. He made an excellent point there when he said that it's one thing to just have a guy line up as a defensive end or, you know, an edge defender and beat the guy in front of him and rush the passer. But it's another thing when you're looking at coverage and just how everything is happening there where you have to rely on other people. And there's communication. And that's something that has already been an issue, right? It's something that they want to improve upon. So with that communication, a newer guy, that can cause some problems. So we'll see what happens when he comes in to help out. I don't know if he's going to play on Sunday or not. And the Titans haven't really given any hints as far as for sure whether he's going to not play or what have you. They're going to work that situation out. We'll probably know a bit more tomorrow. But until then, there's question marks in the secondary. And I just, what are you going to do? If Desmond King can't go, if Adoree Jackson doesn't go, that leaves Breon Borders, a guy who was on the practice squad, as the left corner. And that's something that you may not want to have that situation going against a guy like Darnell Mooney, who's such a speedy receiver, and even furthermore against Allen Robinson. That's definitely an area where the Bears could take advantage of that. But I think it's probably good to get into how a locker room could respond to these moves being made, and that's where we're going to bring in my partner, Nate Washington. Nate, Desmond King was acquired via trade. You had Vic Beasley released, Jonathan Joseph released. How does a locker room typically respond to that?
Well, first of all, I want to apologize to you, buddy, for these technical difficulties on this end, trying to get connected. Well, as always, it's a pleasure to be on with you.
For sure.
But, yeah, definitely. This is how it goes. You know, as much as we as players are prepared for each week that we are assigned a game, you also have to be prepared for a revolving door in the locker room. You know, a lot of guys are in different situations with different organizations. I'll say this, you know, every single Monday and Tuesday in New England, they have anywhere from between 6 to 12 guys come as a workout, whether it's, you know, receivers, and they just have them from different, you know, groups. And this is what happens. Unfortunately, you get, especially due to this year with so many COVID concerns and COVID restrictions and a lot of guys being placed on COVID IR, all of those things that are going on right now, a lot of locker rooms are revolving doors. But technically, you know, when you get a guy like this where you get a couple cuts in Jonathan Joseph and Vic Beasley, now this guy is added as an added addition as a, you know, trade. You know, these are guys that are going to come into the locker room. They may know a lot of guys from not only being in the league for quite some time, but competing with them and competing against them in college and having that opportunity and making those relationships. But a lot of times when you have guys come in that have veteran experience, you know, they'll come in and they'll fit right in. You know, obviously the personalities have to be met and understood. But when you got a guy that comes into the locker room, it's strictly business. You try to find out what assets you can gain from the guy on your team. If you're playing with him, I'm pretty sure a lot of the DBs throughout this time will try to understand what he brings to the table and how they can play off of him. But it's definitely going to take at least a game or two for them all to get in sync of understanding what the new piece is going to be able to do. But you definitely, this is something that's common. You know, it happens a lot, you know, especially with the trade deadline. This is something that we experience on a constant basis, year in, year out, of an influx of late additions or late subtractions in this case as well, that you experience. And you lose friends, you say goodbye to those guys, you stay in contact, but, you know, the business of the sport, you know, you're suspected to happen, and you make new friends and you continue on and try to build that family camaraderie and go out and get the job done on Sunday.
You mentioned the familiarity that a lot of guys, having been in the league, there's crossover. And Malcolm Butler, he spoke today about Desmond King, and it turns out he has not talked to Desmond King before, you know, in this week leading up to the game, but he worked out with Desmond King because Desmond King and Adoree Jackson are friends, and they trained during the offseason. So there is typically, and people would be surprised by how 6 degrees of separation applies to the NFL. And I think we see it all the time. You know, like we'll talk. I'd be like, hey, Nate, you know, I'm thinking about getting so-and-so on. He'd be like, oh, yeah, that's my boy. You know what I mean? or you'll bring something up. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know what? I did something. He helped me with an article. It's really interesting how interrelated the league is.
Definitely. In retrospect to that, a wise man, OG, well, I call him my OG, once told me in this league, he said, it's not about who you know, but who knows you. Mm. And a lot of guys, you know, you meet so many guys, you meet so many coaches, so many front office personnel, so many players along the way that, you know, it's a lot of times that you'll get grabbed from a guy that you don't even know. And then he'll explain to you where he knows you from. And you'll be like, oh, yeah, I forgot. I was with you over there in that situation. situation, or I remember you in the front office and just walked through. I remember your face, you know. So it's a lot of times you're going to encounter a lot of relationships and interactions and encounters that are going to come along, not only from the past, but you're going to see these people again. So it's definitely a revolving door, and you always kind of, it's always good to kind of cross paths with somebody you know.
So to open up, I share some things that I felt Desmond King could help out with as far as being a guy to blitz from the nickel. The coverage situation, we're going to have to see, because that's communication. That's something you can't just drop them in there and expect them to be a shutdown cover type of player. I don't think he is a shutdown guy anyway, but what is it that you think the addition of Desmond King will do for this Titans secondary?
With the Pro Bowl experience, it's just that experience. You know, these guys that are coming into the locker room, and I feel like a lot of the guys, even with the addition, I know a lot of, you know, fans didn't agree with the situation, but even the addition of Jonathan Joseph this past offseason, you know, a lot of coaches are trying to get guys that are not only, you know, hungry and willing to play, but also familiar to the game. And when you get a veteran guy in there that's playing on the high level, that's had the ability to play in the Pro Bowl, to play in special teams and be effective, you know, these guys are going to be true assets. You know, we can go up and down the list of physical talent that he has, but, you know, one thing that I've learned about this game is as talented as you can be, it means nothing if you have no experience and don't know what you're doing. And a lot of times you get guys in there, especially like you said, we're not looking for him to go out and be impactful and cover guys one-on-one and get all of the sacks blitzing. But, you know, in certain situations, being able to know what gap to blitz, to know which edge to blitz on that gap, to know what coverage to look for, to know what route concepts that may come your way because you see a flat curl combination. These things are critical when you're talking about experience. And the experience of Desmond is going to be tremendous for the secondary. It gives another guy back there that has the experience of, you know, Butler, of Adoree now, of, you know, the safeties that have been playing at a high level, and gives them a guy that can play in the slot and probably outside and give them addition of some experience.
Yeah, they definitely need it, right? You have the rookie Chris Jackson as a nickel option. They may end up having to put him outside to match up with that speed and just according to availability, right? Ty Smith is listed as questionable. So we'll see what happens at left corner. Adoree Jackson remains a mystery as well as far as what they're going to do with him. It did come out today that they have up until Wednesday to make a decision. It's not tomorrow as the deadline, so there's a chance he doesn't play, but they activate him Wednesday and he is there for the Colts, which T.Y. Hilton, that's a date that Adoree Jackson has had, and it's been good and there's been bad, so we'll see what happens there. But we're going to go to a break. When we come back, I think we need to flip it to the other side of the ball, and I want to look at a three-headed monster. We'll be right back.
Like the blues and smoother than smooth. Blue Note Juke Joint.
The 2021 Acura TLX will take your breath away.
Yes, the new TLX styling is aggressive.
Enough power to rival any adversary.
It has a standard iVTEC turbo engine.
And enough features to make you the hero.
Just tell them the truth. The all-new Acura TLX is the best sedan we've ever created. How's that sound? See it at your local Acura dealer. Acura. Less talk. More drive.
Visit Gary Force Acura today, a member of the Tennessee Acura Dealers.
If you missed the latest from Darren, Donick, and Chase, sponsored by Blue Note Juke Joint, smoother than smooth.
Either Adoree Jackson is back in the fold and back on the active roster, or he will be shut down for the season. With that being said, what do you think is going to happen? I mean,
unless there's something we don't know about and his injury is way worse than we're being led to believe, or maybe he had a bad setback last week and nobody's saying anything. If he's not ready to go on Sunday, you don't shut him down for the season, of course. You would just activate him to the roster, but then deactivate him on Sunday. So if he's not ready to go on Sunday,
then
which is possible.
You're sliding somebody else out of the mix.
Yeah, but that's what you got to do. You can't have Adoree Jackson out for the season. You wouldn't shut him down for the season if he's not going to be ready until 2 weeks from now, for example, if that's the case. You see what I'm saying? Like, if you had to deactivate him on Sunday one more time, then that would be worth doing. You don't have to lose him for the rest of the season unless there's something catastrophically wrong with his knee.
And My guess is if that was the case, they would have already just shut him down.
Sure. So it's not like you have no choices. You do have a choice here. You just can't put him back on IR. That's not an option anymore.
Yeah. I think that the hope for everybody is that Desmond King is going to be an addition and not a replacement. Whether Adoree Jackson can play Sunday, we'll see.
But here's where confident. We can rely on Teron Davenport, who told us this is what to look for. If they bring in a defensive back, if they bring a guy who plays on the outside, that would tell you a lot about Adoree Jackson. But Desmond King plays on the inside. He's a nickel back. He's a guy that is going to take the slot receiver. So I think they envision Jackson helping on the outside, on the other side from Malcolm Butler, and Desmond King helping out as a nickel back. So it slots the guys, I think, into a better role definition.
Tune in Darren, Donick, and Chase, sponsored by Blue Note Juke Joint. Smoother than smooth. Weekdays 10 to 2 on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN. 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
Hey, Nashville, this is David Poyle. You're listening to Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The introduction of how nice I am. Tell your mother, tell your father, send a telegram. All right, back from the break. Nate and TD, Check the Rhyme, Tribe Called Quest. So we got into the defense and looked at some of the things that went wrong against the Bengals, what could have been better. I think offensively they had a solid showing. It wasn't their best at all. But if there was one thing, Nate, that was really good about this past week's game, it was a rushing attack. As a group, they averaged 7.5 yards per carry. Derrick Henry, 18 carries, 112. He averaged 6.2. Jeremy McNichols, 4 for 49, 12.3 average. And Deontay Foreman, 5 for 37, 7.4 yards per carry. Tannehill had the 2 scrambles for 20 yards. That contributed as well. I think they have a situation going, and Chris Sanders, when I talked to him for Run TMC on the Talking with TD show, he had a really good idea, and he mentioned the three-headed monster. And it took me back to the old days with the Eagles. You know, Coach Deuce Staley is now, you know, he's coaching, but he was a running back then, and they had a three-headed monster with Karell Buckhalter, Brian Westbrook, and Deuce Staley. And it was very effective. What do you think about a three-headed monster? Obviously, a heavy, heavy dose of Derrick Henry, but supplementing it with Foreman and McNichols. What do you think about that for their offense?
Well, I'll take you one step further. I actually played with Deuce, and I was with the Pittsburgh Steelers at a time that we had Jerome Bettis, Deuce Staley, Verron Haynes, and Willie Parker. Mm. That was a four-headed monster.
Fast Willie.
So, yeah, man, you know, and for those people that have been listening all season to us, you know, this is kind of something that I've been asking for from this Titans offense for quite some time. And I've alluded to the fact that as great as Derrick is, as hard of a runner and hard as it is to tackle him, you know, I've said often that a change of speed is difficult for a defense to keep up with. You know, you go out there and they've made Derrick obviously not only the feature back of this offense, but the feature asset of this offense. And with that said, when you get teams that prepare throughout the week, you know, as great as a guy is, just like Bill Belichick, he always goes up to the number one guy on the other team and tells him, like, you're not going to beat us today. Because that's just the mentality of a lot of different organizations that you're going to face as your opponent. You know, they know what you do best. They know who's your best guy, and they're going to study that guy all week to make sure that they're prepared to stop him, because in a lot of situations, they understand if they stop that one guy, then they stop that offense, or they stop that defense, or that special teams can find a way to take advantage. And that's just what coaches get paid to do, you know. So when you look at the situation with Derrick Foreman, you know, Nick McNichols, now actually getting the opportunity to get some carries, you know, this is Arthur Smith just paying attention to the game itself. You know, you go four quarters with Derrick Henry and you go off tackle. Even if you run the ball between the tackles, you know, it's going to be a situation where the defender is going to understand who he's tackling. You know, they're going to understand the run concepts. They're going to understand what the Titans want to get accomplished throughout that game, you know, and now here it is. They're mixing it up, giving McNichols an opportunity. You know, Foreman did an excellent job last year with the last game with the few carries that he had at, with a 7-yard average. You know, that's indicative to having a guy that can give you a change of pace. You know, it's a different body, different speed. He puts his foot in the ground differently than Derek will, and he's going to have a different look, you know, and that's just what teams must be prepared for. You know, when you go out and you have different guys that can carry the ball and get the job done, it's definitely going to be a hindrance for the defense.
The thing that really made me think of this as well was, you know, that drive, man. It was, I'm going to say, the third drive of the game. And, you know, they're down 10-0. It was about to get ugly. They couldn't really do much on offense, and they just, man, they put the shoes together, one lineman next to the other, and they just ran the ball down their throat. It was a 10-play drive. It covered about 76 yards, took over 4 minutes off the clock, but it helped them regain somewhat control of that game. Especially that quarter, that the start of the game, and nine of those plays were carries by Foreman and Derrick Henry, and it ended with a 3-yard touchdown. This is what you have to do. Like, when you have these horses, and you have that the guys up front able to make it happen as well, it's what you're known for. Think about it. When teams look at the Titans, they say, okay, you know what? And you touched on it. We got to stop Derrick Henry because they're going to give us a steady dose of Derrick Henry. We got to try to stop it. But what ends up happening? Week in and week out, Derrick Henry does his thing. And now you have other players you could supplement with. I really think it's important to impose their will. What are your thoughts on that? You think that that's what they need to do consistently, especially this upcoming week? The Bears, you know, they're giving up $120 on the ground per game.
Well, definitely. You know, I called last week a trap game. And as we called it in the locker room and in the meeting rooms, this would be a get back on track game. Mm-hmm. You know, this is very the Chicago Bears are very primed and ready for what the Titans do best. You know, obviously you're going to have to be accountable for that front seven is amazing over there in Chicago. But to be honest with you, you know, this is a game in which the Titans will have the opportunity to come out, be physical, run the ball, stick to the run game, and get something out of it. You know, I think the situation with them giving McNichols and Foreman the ball now, like I said, you know, I'll continue to reiterate that it gives a change of pace. You know, I've been in games and game plans with offensive coordinators where we may have 5 runs total in our whole game plan. You know, we have a whole list of runs, but here it is. We only will run 5 different game plays. And it's a lot of times because of what coaches see on film, it's trying to take advantage of maybe a weaker side of the defense than the other. But for whatever reason, you know, a lot of times you look at games and although it looks different, a play may get bounced or it may cut back or it may look different. But the reality of it is it's the same exact call. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when you're facing defenses, they know that. So if you're running the off tackle consistently with Derek, if you're running the half gut with Derek, to get a different change of space and pace in there, it's not about changing the play, but now McNichols can hit it quicker. Now Foreman can get to that edge quicker than maybe Derek can. So now after being methodical and strategic about facing this Titans offense and understanding the big back that you have to stop, now all of a sudden you get these different guys in there with the change of pace, and it doesn't matter if he gets 5 carries or 7. Just being able to hit that carry quicker or differently than Derek can will definitely affect the Titans' ability to be successful.
If it's not broke, don't fix it. And one thing that you can say is not broken is the way that they run the football. So we've kind of went at length to explain why that needs to happen. We'll see what occurs on Sunday against the Bears, but it's pretty clear that the ticket to this team having that get back game that you mentioned. So we're going to go to a break. We're going to come back. Special guest, Harry Douglas. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Everybody's going to eat.
Sunday afternoon, it's our NFL Game of the Week, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura.
Touchdown, Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys host the Pittsburgh Steelers at Jerry's World.
And throws for the end zone. Touchdown, Pittsburgh.
Coverage begins at 3
on ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
No need to stand in line waiting for the deals this year. Black Friday shopping starts early at Electronic Express. Huge savings on 4K TVs, computers, laptops, tablets, speakers, headphones, and more. Really want to avoid the lines? Electronic Express is now offering buy online and pick up in store. Upgrade your kitchen just in time for Thanksgiving with up to 40% off all appliances. Plus, get up to 36 months free financing. It's already Black Friday shopping season at Electronic Express. We make it happen.
In March, Wholesale Inc. lost most of their buildings to the tornado. 2 weeks later, COVID-19 hit. Through all, they remained open so customers could still purchase vehicles through home deliveries. They may look different now, but they are 100% open to the public. If you're in the market for a quality pre-owned vehicle or to sell your vehicle, motorcycle, or ATV, stop by Wholesale Inc. at 8037 Eastgate Boulevard in Mount Juliet, wholesaleinc.com, or request shipping or free home delivery. Get the vehicle you want at the price you deserve. Wholesale Inc. Buy where the dealers buy.
Signs First is the official sign company for 102.5 The Game. Go to sfnash.com.
Everybody's talking about Genesis Diamonds.
Genesis is the best. They'll work with you, the customer service is unbelievable, and you can't beat the price.
You're going to get the most value for your dollar at Genesis Diamonds. You're going to get the best customer service in town and probably in the entire state.
It's hard to see how the other jewelry stores can compete because of what Genesis is presenting to their customers. The quality and the value is incomparable.
What's really awesome about Genesis, I think a lot of girls look at other girls' rings a lot, and you don't want the same ring as the girl sitting beside on an airplane or something.
Oh yeah, you can't beat
Genesis Diamonds, voted best jewelry store in Nashville 10 straight years.
People all the time are constantly stopping me saying how beautiful my ring is. It's really awesome because Genesis has the designers, I feel, that women want.
Even if the price had been slightly more, I think we would have still chosen Genesis just because we felt there really was a personal connect. They really wanted us to be happy.
I highly recommend Genesis. I honestly feel like they're family to me now.
Genesis is my jewelry store.
Discover the difference yourself. Genesis Diamonds, Green Hills and Cool Springs.
The FedEx Ground in Lebanon, Tennessee is hiring package handlers. Meet hiring managers at their open house on Wednesday, November 11th from 1 to 4 p.m. at 1050 Richard Petty Way in Lebanon. Take exit 65 off of I-840 at the Nashville Super Speedway. Again, that's Wednesday, November 11th from 1 to 4 p.m. at 1050 Richard Petty Way. Earn up to $19 per hour plus a new hire bonus of an additional $2 per hour. Learn more. Text GROUND to 33011. Standard message and data rates apply.
FedEx Ground is an equal opportunity affirmative action employer. Minorities, females, disability, and veterans committed to a diverse workforce.
Contest rules for 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9, including on-air, online, and text-based contests, are available by visiting the contest rules page at thegamenashville.com. Good luck, and thanks for listening to 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9.
Hey, Nashville, this is Rick Stockstill, and you're listening to Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yo, hit him with an uppercut.
Hey, y'all, hey, y'all, hey.
All right, back from the break, Nate and TD. We're going to keep this thing rolling. We promise you a special guest. So we're going to bring in former Titans receiver Harry Douglas. Harry, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. I'm glad to be here with you guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Harry, man.
We're glad to have you on. Nate, I know you're glad to get another receiver on the board as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My guy Harry is in the building. We're very excited to have you, bro. And as always, we love to start off with our guys, our retired guys, with what's going on with them. I've been keeping track. And you kind of been interviewing all over the place. You know, I've been watching you kind of also doing the thing that I'm doing and transitioning into the media game. So my first question to you is, how are you enjoying it, man? How are you enjoying watching more film and being able to relate to the people, your side of things, and how you see it? Nate, I think it's, man, it's I'm like a kid in a candy store right now because you're retired, and when you love the game so much and you know your body can't really do it anymore physically, you find other ways to still be involved within the game. And one of the things I actually get to do, man, is get a fan's a different perspective on things, whether it's breaking down film and posting it on my social media, whether it's doing the pregame, postgame, and halftime show for the Falcons. Last year I got an opportunity to work with ESPN a lot and do a lot of things within college football. Coronavirus kind of slowed that down, but I'm still doing things at the NFL level. But it's just
the joy for me is like when fans hit you up and be like, man, I understand it now the way you broke it down. And it's just a few people in this world, that's all they need is a better understanding, a better concept in layman's terms of how to understand the game of football. And they see why a coach may have made this decision or a player may have done A, B, C, or D.
Right, exactly. I totally agree with you, bro. And I will also give our listeners an opportunity to follow Harry on Twitter at HDouglas83. He posts a lot of great videos that, you know, breaks down the game and gives his opinion on what he sees. And a lot of the things are definitely on point. Moving into that, though, my next question would be to you, Harry. When you look at this Titans receiving core and what they're able to do into balance out the run game of Derrick Henry. You know, we always talk about Derrick Henry. And I've always on this show talked about A.J. Brown and Corey Davis and what they do to bring, you know, to this offense. But as a slot guy, you played a lot of the slot. As a slot guy, you know, he's out for this game. But when you look at Adam Humphries and what he's able to bring to this offense, and how do you see his absence in this weekend possibly affecting the Titans trying to plug a guy in his position?
Well, I'll say, speaking on Adam, so I had a chance to actually follow Adam when he was actually in Tampa Bay. And an OC that I had in Atlanta, Dirk Cutter, was the head coach down there then. So I actually watched a lot of their film, and I actually had a chance to work out with Jameis while he was suspended for a few days. So I was watching a ton of their film and love the things I've seen for Adam. And when he went to free agency, you see it was a battle between the Titans and New England to try to get him. So that lets you know the volume of player that the value of player that he actually is when it comes to that slot position. But I love what Adam brings to the game. He brings a sense of toughness. He brings a sense of intelligence, because when you play in that slot, Nate, it is, you can be fast, strong, and physical, but if you're not mentally sharp, it's hard to play in that slot, because you have to understand what the defense is doing. You have to know when to run full speed, when to run 75, when to sit in a hole, when to run through a hole. It's so much things to playing in the slot that you have to know as a receiver, and Adam brings that to the game. Now, the only thing when it comes to Adam is that he only played 12 games last year. He only played one out of three playoff games. He's missing this game. He's already missed one this year. He has to be available to the Titans so they can actually get him more involved within the offense. But if you're not available like that, it's hard to do so.
Right.
That's a great point about Humphries. And, again, he's ruled out with the concussion. That was a questionable no-call against the Bengals last week, but here he is not playing. But two guys that are playing this week, A.J. Brown and Corey Davis. And it seems like they're getting to a point where they really complement each other very well. Tell me a little bit about what you've seen from watching those two receivers in the time they're on the field together.
Well, it's no question. When you look at A.J. Brown, A.J.'s the number one, right? He's the matchup nightmare. Teams are scared of that matchup. That's why you don't really want to see teams don't really want to come in playing him press coverage, because he's pretty much going to beat that press coverage. And I'll say this, whoever coached them at Ole Miss, listen, I don't understand how they had D.K. Metcalf, A.J. Brown, and Van Jefferson at one point and did not win at all.
Yes. Yes.
But with AJ, man, he started off slow last year and he came on late, had a 1,000-yard season. He got injured early this year, so he started off slow. So I'm looking forward to him to having a big second half, because I feel like this team is really going to need it, because teams are going to stack that box to try to stop Derrick Henry. And that's going to leave him one-on-one. And that's the coverage that teams, frankly, probably don't want to play against AJ Brown. But I love his upside. I love what he brings. I love his toughness. And when you talk about Corey Davis, like when A.J. went out, I thought Corey did a great job picking up that absence and playing vital snaps and making big-time catches for this offense to even get rolling and get thriving. Now, when you look at their numbers, it's crazy, because I believe both of these guys, if I'm not mistaken, has 39 targets.
Yeah.
And they both have only played 5 games. So they get the same amount of targets. It's just a matter of picking your poison and taking what the defense gives you. But I think they're doing a great job. And I think the guy a guy that I'm surprised by the most and really looking forward to see more this season is Khalif Raymond. The young man is a speedster. He can change the game of football in the blink of an eye. That's on special teams in the return game. and as a deep threat. And whenever you have three or four guys that complement one another like that, it's good. Because I remember when I played in Atlanta, Nate, we had me, Roddy White, Julio Jones, and Devin Hester. When you can have four guys at any time you can throw the football, those are vital options. And then you have the run game, which is your staple offense, so you're going to get those one-on-ones on the outside.
So you've been in a situation where the running attack was staple, but you worked off of it with the pass. How is Arthur Brown doing? Or excuse me, Arthur Brown. That's AJ Brown. How is Arthur Smith doing from a standpoint of balancing that out? Because it seems like he has a very innate ability to call that play action pass for a big play to Khalif Raymond or AJ Brown. It's very timely.
I'm glad you brought that up. So now I'm going to bring up a couple teams in this whole conversation. You look at the Titans, you look at the Browns, you look at the Vikings, and I know their record's not there, but I'm just saying based off the run game, you look at the Rams, you look at the Packers, and you look at just about all those teams, and what do they have in common? They have the Mike Shanahan tree in common, and that's rushing the football. And all those teams I name are top 10 in rushing. So everything that they do is predicated off of the run game. And I think one of the things that Art does a great job of is making everything look the same. So if I'm a defensive player and I'm looking at certain formations that may look like a heavy run formation, which the first play of the game against the Cincinnati Bengals was, I would have 100% thought that was a run play with Corey Davis coming inside to make it look like he's about to block an inside defender, and then they go to a naked bootleg and gain 10 yards to Jonnu Smith. Things like that, and Arthur Smith does a great job of dictating what he wants the defense to play based off his formation and making everything look the same. When I reviewed the Packers tape before the Falcons played the Packers, right, the first thing I said from an offensive standpoint is like, man, Matt LaFleur makes every single thing look exactly the same, so you don't know what the hell's coming at you. And I think Arthur Smith does a great job of that. And Matt LaFleur was actually in Tennessee with Art.
Yep.
So that's maybe one of the things he may have picked up from Matt. But I think he's doing a great job. And I don't know how long y'all going to probably have him there in Tennessee, because the way he's doing and the way he's balancing this offense, the way they're putting up points in the red zone, right now in the red zone, I think they're second in the red zone.
Yes,
and man. Total offense, they're fifth. And he has Tannehill playing at a great level. And it's just funny how you look at this offense when Mariota was handling the offense, and then Tannehill comes in, and just the offense is like night and day. But I think Arthur Smith does a great job of playing to not just Derrick Henry's strength or Tannehill's strength, but everyone on the offense's strength. And that's a sign of a great coach to me. And, Nate, you know this, man, Art put that work in. Art put that work in. From day one, he grinded from the mud to become what he is today. And I respect that 100%.
And definitely, I would totally agree with you, because I was going to also add to the fact that he's learned from not only Matt, but, you know, the Titans fans will remember the great Mike Heimerdinger, Chris Heimerdinger, Chris Palmer. You know, these guys were – you know, the epitome of a lot of the Air McNair offenses and the Chris Johnson run offenses that were successful. And when you had a back like Eddie George, but still a receiver like a Derek Mason and Kevin Dyson. So that tree that he's learned from, I would totally agree with you on. I would like to also go back a little bit, though, because you also stated something that I wanted to ask you about. And it's Khalif Raymond and his ability to affect the special teams as a return man. I know you also, you know, did a lot of returning in your career, and I would love for you to touch on Khalif Raymond's ability in the return game right now with his speed and his change of direction and how he's impacting the game.
Well, you look at – I'm going to bring up a game. You look at the Bills game. The Bills didn't get a third down. They punt the football to the Titans. He has a nice return. And next thing you know, the Titans have scored another touchdown. When you look at special teams, and a lot of guys don't understand this, that's young coming into the league. I played with about three or four guys who did so well on special teams to the point that where the offensive coordinator had no choice but to get them involved in the offense because they were that dynamic. And I just need guys that's coming into the league to understand, listen, when you're coming in to play receiver, You got a Julio Jones, you got an A.J. Brown, you got a Corey Davis out there. You're not playing ahead of those guys. It's just right. It's just keeping it real 100. You're not playing ahead of those guys. So you need to try to make your mark the best way possible. The best way to do it, special teams. Go down there and cover a kick. Play some gunner. Return punts. Return kickoff. Any way possible that you can catch a coach's eye, you need to do so, because all it takes is a few times for you to make some plays and make a difference and make plays that leads in the direction of your team winning. And next thing you know, you're playing meaningful snaps on offense and not just running clear out routes.
Right. And I would totally agree with you on that. I mean, a lot of guys, I think, you know, that's always a saying for us, the more you can do. But, you know, when the ego is involved with the young guys, they don't understand how impactful they can be in that. So that's the reason why I wanted you to speak on that, because I know for a fact, even in the latter part of your career, you know, special teams was something that you took pride in, something that you were great at, man. I always commended you for your ability to, you know, as you stated, get reps in offense, because not only that you were a good receiver, but you bust your tail on special teams, man. So I appreciate you alluding to that.
And you look at guys like Tyreek Hill. A lot of people don't understand Tyreek Hill ain't coming to the NFL just playing wide receiver like right. that. Tyreek Hill made a staple on special teams. I played with a guy, Eric Weems, played 11 years in the National Football League. Why? Because he was so good on special teams and he was good in the return game. It's a ticket. You look at the guy up there. I don't think he's in. Is he still in New England? What's the special teams guy up there that?
You're talking about Matthew Slater.
Matthew Slater.
Listen, Slater going to play about 15 years in the NFL all on special teams. Think about that.
He might be already there, Eric. He might be already there.
Think about that, fellas. You making over $1 million a year to just go down there and cover a kick and return kicks. I'll take that any all day, every day, if you're not that one of those premier guys. I don't see why guys don't want to take that route if they can't be the number one, number two, and number three guy on their teams. And even most times, number three guy got to play special teams.
No doubt about it. So you make some excellent points there, man. I wish we could go on, because this is a good opportunity to pick your mind. I definitely want to get you back on because I enjoyed this conversation. But, Harry, we appreciate it. I know you're going to be watching this game this weekend, so – we'll have to get you on to explain some of the things you see down the line. And thanks for coming on.
No problem at all. Whenever you guys need me, just hit me up. I'll be there for y'all.
For sure.
Harry, meet me down the street, man. We both in the A. I'll see you later, bro. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Nashville, it's Jared Stillman. Are you tired of hearing this? Then let's mask up and remain 6 feet apart so we can get back to this.
Down the left side, five, touchdown!
To return to the arenas we love, we all have to be in this together. This message from all of us at ESPN 102.5 The Game and Cromwell Media.
From the Fox 17 News Code Red Weather Center.
I'm Fox 17 meteorologist Greg Bobis. Going into tonight, temperatures very similar to last night. Mid to upper 40s for low temps, clear sky. And your Saturday and Sunday, mid to upper 70s both days. In both days, loaded with sunshine.
This weather report brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
No need to stand in line waiting for the deals this year. Black Friday shopping starts early at Electronic Express. Huge savings on 4K TVs, computers, laptops, tablets, speakers, headphones, and more. Really want to avoid the lines? Electronic Express is now offering buy online and pick up in store. Upgrade your kitchen just in time for Thanksgiving with up to 40% off all appliances. Plus, get up to 36 months free financing. It's already Black Friday shopping season at Electronic Express. We make it happen.
We all make plans. Big plans, little plans, plans to save, plans to walk the dog, plans for after work. Even plans for when our plans go wrong. It seems like we make plans for everything, except ourselves. At Farm Bureau Health Plans, you are the plan. Your health, your smile, your spring and your step, and your family. And that is the best plan of all. Farm Bureau Health Plans. Plan on us. Visit FBHP.com.
Contest rules for 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9, including on-air, online, and text-based contests, are available by visiting the contest rules page at thegamenashville.com. Good luck, and thanks for listening to 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9.
Listening to this Allstate commercial about savings?
might be the hardest thing about getting those savings. Save for simply becoming an Allstate customer. Save more for adding DriveWise. And save even more for driving safely. Visit Allstate.com or contact your local agent for a quote today. Allstate. Minimum effort, maximum reward.
Not available in every state. New customer savings based on early signing discount. DriveWise is an optional feature. Savings vary based on how you buy. Subject to terms and conditions. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Hey, Nashville. This is Chip Walters, voice of the Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders, and you're listening to Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yeah, a little West Coast flavor. You know something about that, Nate, Far Side?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, had to bring the West Coast flavor, man. Speaking of West Coast, I got to shout out the guys over there right up the street here on the Murfreesboro Pike, West Coast Taco Shop. I grabbed some of those birria. I had to try to roll the tongue. Tacos, man, those things are off the hook. My daughter's one of them, so I got some for them. So I definitely shout out West Coast Taco Shop. It's really interesting when you look at this, just how things have gone for this Titans team over the last couple weeks, right? You would think that this Titans team was at the bottom. You would think that this Titans team is playing the way the Texans or Jaguars are. It's really interesting how, and I think it's a testament to what Mike Vrabel and John Robinson and the crew have been able to do, because this team's 5-2 and people are legitimately upset, like as if they're 2-5. And coming into this year, if someone would have said that after seven games the Titans would be 5-2, most people would have been like, you know, I'll take that. They look good at 5-2. I'll take that record. It's really interesting to me how the vibe is with this team, despite them having one of the best records in the AFC.
You know what? As the old saying goes, with great power comes great responsibility. And it's just a reflection, you know, as much as we've given, you know, the Titans credit, the organization credit for turning things around, you also have to understand that, you know, with them going to the AFC Championship last year and the unexpected start to this season of being undefeated early, you know, the expectation will grow. The fans will become more anxious and giddy and happy about the situation. And in the moment that they feel that their team is not performing the way that they can, obviously there's going to be a lot of griping and groaning, mm-hmm. you know, but this is just the responsibility of coming along with winning and having that expectation behind you. I'll give you an even better little notion to it really quick. I remember being in Pittsburgh, and the year we came off of the Super Bowl, I don't even think we went to the playoffs the next year. Just a very bad year for us all around. And we would go places in the city, and people would like walk up to me like, man, what you doing out here, man? Go home, get ready for tomorrow. Like, I'll be at a restaurant. And somebody just come to me like, man, I need you to go rest. Like, don't forget the food. Like, just leave it alone. And it's just like, that's the expectation when you become winners. And unfortunately, like you said, this team is not in a bad position. If anything, they've been put in a position early in this season to rectify and address the issues that they've had. Special teams, kicking, the secondary and the pass rush. These issues have been rectified and addressed. And moving forward, it gives them opportunity, especially against a great ball club in Pittsburgh. And then a lower, I'll call them this, a lower record team in the NFL. But when you turn on the tape about Cincinnati, I call it a trap game for a reason. They've been playing really good football on both ends in a area that was specifically designed for them. And it's been going well for them. So it's just a reflection for the Titans with these two losses these last weeks to understand where they went wrong, address these things moving forward. And I'm pretty sure that within the closed doors, within that organization, within that practice facility, everybody from Chris the Cook understands that the Titans will get back on track, and the fans will see it here throughout the rest of the season, them finding their way through to make amends for not only these last two weeks, but what they came up short with last year.
Well, let's talk matchups, because this is what you refer to as a get-right game. And the Titans on offense, I'm going to kick it off, because – one area that they need to get right with after what happened last week is red zone. And I'm not saying they did bad in the red zone, but they had a very uncharacteristic interception. In fact, since week 7 of last season, that's the only interception that Ryan Tannehill has thrown in the red zone. And why am I mentioning red zone? Because since Tannehill took over, this team has the highest scoring percentage as far as touchdowns are concerned in the red zone. This year, they are second to the Seahawks, 79.3% of the time they get inside the 20. They're scoring, but here's where the matchup comes into play. The Bears have the NFL's top-ranked red zone defense, 40%. So you have strength against strength. We know the short window or the tight window throws that Tannehill makes. We know the high completion percentage he has, 77% tops in the league since he took over. A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, there are Jonnu Smith. We have to talk about the tight ends because they have most of the red zone touchdowns from Ryan Tannehill. But how does it match up with the Bears? And I think that defense, you have a complete game wrecker in Khalil Mack up front, a guy that's very sudden. He could get to the quarterback quickly. Then you have Akeem Hicks, who's just almost unmovable. Roquan Smith behind that sideline to sideline, and Eddie Jackson, one of the top safety. They're solid on all levels. And the way that they play matches up so well to the red zone. I think that's the matchup, in my opinion, of the Titans offense against the Bears defense. What say you?
Definitely. When you look at this Chicago Bears defense, I think the one thing that's definitely going to jump out in your mind is just the front seven. Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack, Danny Trevathan, mm-hmm. Roquan Smith. These guys play outstanding football. You know, as you said, they're a physical bunch of guys. And this isn't the group that you're going to just be able to wear on and tear on and be down. Like, these guys play a high intensity. And, you know, I think it goes unsaid when you look at the team. Obviously, you're going to address a Khalil Mack, but it goes unsaid how good Akeem Hicks is. You know, this guy is not only just talented, but his size alone creates havoc in the middle of an interior offensive line. So, you know, you definitely address the big elephant in the room, but I will also allude to the fact that this is a secondary that creates turnovers. Eddie Jackson is a ball hawk. You know, this guy does a great job of following the quarterback's eyes, understanding and playing the middle of the field, and definitely making plays on the ball, you know. So, as you stated, you know, last week was one of the very few mistakes that Ryan has made throughout his tenure with being the quarterback of the Titans and doing an excellent job of controlling the turnover ratio. But in the same sense, it's definitely going to have to be emphasis on that this week, because guys are going to have to make plays on this offense for the Titans. They're going to have to be able to establish some type of run game. And as you said, when you're facing a top three defense in red zone and you're a top two, top three offense in red zone, it's going to be a class of the, as with no pun intended, but class of the Titans. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be physical. It's going to be, you know, who's going to make the first mistake. And the Titans are going to definitely have to be on point to make sure that they're not only accountable for this front seven and Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack being a game disruptor, but also in the back end with Eddie Jackson being able to make plays and create turnovers.
No doubt about it. From a defensive perspective, I could go a couple ways here, right? We know Allen Robinson and what he brings to the table. But I'm gonna go to Darnell Mooney and his ability to stretch the field. I don't know if you've gotten to watch him, Nate, but he's nice. You know, 4.38, but he attacks the football. The speed that he has shows up on the field, and he just set up. Nick Foles hit him for a 50-yard explosive play to set up a touchdown that Allen Robinson caught, and I think if they could get him. With how much this front is struggling to get to the quarterback, if they could get him to run that downfield route and Foles to have the time to get him the football, I think this could be the week where they connect a little bit more. So Darnell Mooney against that secondary is the matchup for me. I want to see how they're able to limit those explosive plays.
Well, once again, I think we both kind of see the game the same. When you look at it, I'll go a little broader with the interest. But here, when you look at this Chicago offense and you address it, they also want to be physical. They want to try to get the hands and the ball in the hands of Derek Montgomery. But when you look at the film and you realize how they've been in a lot of these games, they've made big plays. They're a big play team. You know, I think we've talked week in, week out about how Titans have been facing opponents that have short, quick pass games that get the ball out of their hand quick. Well, here's a team that loves to hold on to the ball a little bit longer because they like to take the big shots down the field. You know, Darryl Mooney, he's been doing a great job, but I've also seen Anthony Miller making some big plays as well. And obviously, Allen Robinson the second, he's going to be exactly what he's going to be. But when you look at these core guys and you look at what they're trying to do specifically with this offense, it's hard-nosed run game with Montgomery and big shots over the top, you know, as much as they can get with Nick Foles in this receiving corps. So obviously addressing the big elephant in the room you've already done with the specific matchup, but the secondary is going to have to be prepared again to make some plays, and hopefully the pass rush for the Titans will have enough time to get home this week, being that Nick Foles in this offense with the Chicago Bears likes to take deep shots down the field, and hopefully it gives them some time to get home to make some plays on the quarterback.
You know, they always say that there's three phases to the game, right? You have offense, defense, and special teams. But
right.
I think for this week's segment of things that make you go, we'll have to add another element. And, Nate, I touched on it earlier when we had Harry Douglas on. That no call. When Adam Humphries got hit, Marv Levy, I always love watching NFL films videos, right? And Marv Levy had an issue with the refs, and he said that was unconscionable. That's exactly what that lack of calling the hitting a defenseless receiver was. How do you not call that?
You know what, man? Being in the heart of that game and being in the immediate action of it, you know, unfortunately, it's not a situation where a lot of times a ref can see a play like that and go back and throw a flag for any inconvenience or inappropriate play. But unfortunately, they miss plays. And one as blatant as that, you know, you're hoping that they can get that call correct. You know, a lot of times when you're playing the game, we understand things happen, but at the same time, when it creates or jeopardizes a guy's health, and it's an inappropriate play, you're hoping that the ref steps in, makes the appropriate call, and everything gets justified, at least on the field, because obviously you're not going to get Adam Humphries back this week. So it's a problem there with that situation. But, you know, as a player, the worst thing that happens is these type of players are sent into the office after the game. Well, sent into the front office with the league after the game in New York. And then you get some type of explanation on Wednesday that says, oh, well, we missed a call here. Well, thanks a lot. You know, we're missing one of our key players. We're missing, you know, a key play from the game that unfortunately would have hurt our player, but at least give us the penalty yards to put us in position to be effective from that play. And it doesn't happen. You know, a lot of times you're getting caught in those positions and referees tend to make misplays like that. But, you know, it's unfortunate that it just happened on such a big injury to Adam Humphries, especially when you're dealing with a concussion like that. That's unfortunate. And you would hope that a ref would actually be able to be cognizant enough to make that type of call.
All right. So out the door, I'm taking the Titans over the Bears 21-17. Nate, a quick 2-second prediction.
I'm going to go Titans 17-10. I think this will be a low-scoring game.
Low-scoring game. There you have it. We will be back next week. We'll have two games to review because you have the Thursday game against the Colts. Nate, I appreciate it. Like always, we killed it. Thanks for making it happen, man. We'll be back next week. Hey, listen, don't go anywhere. Talking with TD is next.